Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Ches. We're going to begin 8 lines on the top of Yud Ches Omer Aleph with the words Mosiv Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Just to remind ourselves, in yesterday's share, we had brought down 2 opinions, and we had discussed a lot about these opinions as to whether there's Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. Ein Zika was the opinion that Rav Huna said over in the name of Rav, Rav Huna Amar Rav, and Yesh Zika was the opinion that Rav Yehuda had said. We haven't yet explained who Rav Yehuda learned this from. He was a Talmud of Rav, so the question will be, did he learn this from Rav? And then he, in fact, is disagreeing as to Rav's opinion with Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Ein Zika, and Rav Yehuda says, Yesh Zika. So if he's learning it from Rav, so then there's going to be Trei Amorai saying different things than Rav, or did he learn it from his other Rabbi, Shmuel? As we also mentioned in yesterday's shiur, after Rav passed away, so Rav Yehuda went to learn by Rav Asi, he also learned to learn by Shmuel. So therefore, is he saying this over in the name of Shmuel, that Yesh Zika, and then it's just a machlokas Rav Shmuel, which is actually a machlokas of Tanoim. So that's what we're going to discuss more in the beginning of today's shiur. So we start off with Masiv Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Rav Huna Bar Chiya asked the following shaila from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had the case of 2 brothers, Reuven and Shimon, where Reuven died without children, and his widow, Rachel, falls in Yibum to Shimon. And then, before Shimon actually did Yibum with the widow of Reuven, with Rachel, Levi is born. So Levi is the classical Ach Shalohi Obiolam. He wasn't living at the same time as Reuven. So in this situation, the Mishnah had said, also Bo Maimar, if Shimon had done Maimar, he had done this rabbinical marriage, at least according to most, this is a rabbinical marriage only here. It's a kiddushin that is only effective on a rabbinical level. And then, before he actually took her in Yibum, he died. So in this situation, the Mishnah had said, Shnia, the second wife, which we said is referring here to the wife of Shimon that he had before the Yibum. So Shnia Choletzes, she requires Chalitza, however, Velo Misyabemis. She would not be allowed to go and have Yibum done to her, because at least on a Derabbanan level, she's a Tzores Erva, the Erva being the Ach She'ein Haya Ba'olam, this Eishes Ach Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, was Rachel in regards to Levi, and therefore when Shimon dies, so his original wife, which we're calling the second woman, the Shnia, so she is now a Tzara, based upon the Maimer, to a Tzaras Erva of Eshesach Lo Hayo Biolam. And therefore, on a Daraisa level, she could have Yibum, because there was no official marriage via Yibum to Shimon. So therefore, Shimon's wife falls in practice to Levi, because Levi and Shimon lived at the same time. They're Shnei Yavim Achim Yoshu Yachtov, and therefore there would be Yibum, but we don't allow this because on a Derabbanan level, it's Tzaras Eishes Ach Shaloyo Biolam, and therefore we require Chalitza and not Yibum. That's what our Mishnah said. Now, Taima, implication from our Mishnah is that the reason that we don't allow Levi to do Yibum, but we require Chalitza, is the Avad Bo Maimer. It's only because Shimon did Maimer. Implication being, hello, Avad Bo Maimer, if he had not done Maimer, and she had just fallen to him through regular Zika, so then Shnia, Nami Yibume Miyabma. It implies that there is no Zika, and therefore this relationship that Rachel, the widow of Reuven, had with Shimon is just Zika, and it's not halachically strong enough to consider her a Tzaras Eishes Ach Shelo Hayo Biolamo. And therefore, this wife of Shimon that falls now in Yibam to Levi could in fact undergo Yibam or Chalitza. The Ivi Amris, if you're going to tell me Yesh Zika, like Rav Yehuda had said, Habilo Tzaras Eishes Ach Shelo Hayo Biolamo b'Zika. So then the Zika should have made it that it's a Tzaras Erva. But the Zika didn't make it a Tzaras Erva from the implication of omission. Only if he did Mimer did it make it a Tzaras Erva. And therefore, this is a Kasha on Rav Yehuda. How can you tell us Yesh Zika? So Gemara says, Amar Rabba. Rabba says that's incorrect. In fact, from our Mishnah, Hu Adin, the Afogab, the Lo Ovid Ba Maimar, Shnia Michlatz Cholzo Yibu Milo Miyabma. No. In both cases, whether there was Maimer done or whether there wasn't Maimer done. But even if there was Maimer done, still there would be a requirement for Chalitza, albeit Yibum would not be allowed to be done. I, the Vaha Diktoni Maimer, so why did it mention Maimer? The Maimer seems to be irrelevant. If you have to do Chalitza, even if there's only a Zika, because there is Zika, it does have substance to it, and therefore, on some level, it's an Eishes Ish, and it's Saras Erva, of Erva being Eishes Ash Lo Yobi Olamo, and this is a riot to the fact that there is Yesh Zika, this, why did it have to tell us this? The Maimer seems to be irrelevant. No, so the Maimer had a different chiddush to it. The Maimer was necessary to tell us because even without Maimer, it would have been an issa to do yibam and would require chalitza, but the chiddush of telling us even with Maimer, lafugi me beishamai. This is to take us away from the opinion of beishamai. Beishamai holds that Maimer makes it on a daraisa level that there is a kedusha now between Shimon and the widow of Reuven, Rachel. And in this situation, beishamai would say that they are fully married, and therefore if they're fully married, then you wouldn't require yibam or chalitza because it's a regular case of tzaras erva. The erva being Eishes Ashloya B'Yolamo. The Amre, according to Beis Shammai, they hold Maimer Konya Kinyan Gomer. This isn't just the Rabbanan, this is the Din D'Oraisa. And therefore, you don't do even Chalitza in this situation. So the Chiddush of HaMishnah, by telling us also about Maimer, was to take it out of the thought that this could be in accord with Beis Shammai. And Kamash B'Lon, that we don't passing like Beis Shammai. But in fact, the same din would apply that you need to do chalitza, not yibam, whether he did maimer or not, because of the principle of yesh zika. So it's not a kash in Rav Yehuda, it actually fits in well with Rav Yehuda. Try again to shlug this up. Eis v'Abaye, Abaye says, Shnei achim bolam echad, if you have two brothers that are living at the same time. Bolam echad means that Reuven and Shimon are alive at the same time. Umeis echad mehem b'lo vlad. And now you have a regular case where Reuven Nebuch passes away childless, and his wife Rachel falls in yibam to Shimon. Hashem, he has a lassos maimer v'yimto, and he gets up and he wants to do maimer. Now, why does he have to even tell us this? Because he doesn't do maimer. So this is something that we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, that it has to do with if you do maimer baal karcha, does it have any effect or not? But we'll wait till we get to tomorrow's shir to discuss this. In any event, he tries or wants to do maimer, but he doesn't end up doing so. Hashem, Shimon goes, lassos maimer v'yimto, to do maimer with the wife of Reuven. Reuven passed away with the widow of Reuven, with Rachel. But he didn't speak lasses with Maimer. He didn't get a chance to do Maimer. Ach nolach, nolad lo och. Until Levi is born. Now Levi is born, and then Shimon dies. Umeis. So now, again, the scenario is that there was no Maimer done. Levi was born before Shimon died. So this woman, Rachel, how do we consider her status in regards to Levi? If she considered in any way attached to Shimon, and if she is, so then when Shimon's wife falls to Yibam to Levi, it's also going to fall with the erva of Eshazach Shalohiyah B'Yolamo, Rachel. And then we'll have the problem with Levi is going to be Tzores Erva. And that's why Shimon's real wife, the one he had married, would be also to Levi. And the question would be, do you even require Chalitza or not? But if you say that there was nothing there between Reuven and Shimon, so then you have a regular case of Shimon's wife falling to Levi. And yes, you would definitely require Yibam Chalitza. So what does this Braisa tell us? This Braisa says Harishona, which is again a reference to Reuven's widow, Rachel. So Yotza Mishum Eishasach Shalom Yolomo. She certainly cannot get married to Levi because she wasn't taken in with Yibam by Shimon. So she's a classical case of an Eishasach Shalom Yolomo to Levi. And Shnia, and the wife of Shimon, we're calling her again the Shnia, the second wife, the first one being Rachel that fell to her in Yibam, and the second wife here is a reference to Shimon's regular wife, his widow now, the Braisa says she either undergoes Yibam or Chalitza, because the widow of Reuven is not considered in any way a wife of Shimon. Yibam wasn't done, Maimer wasn't done, nothing was done, the Zika is not significant. Oh, that's going to be the kasha of Yehuda. Since the Zika is not significant enough to go and cause any relationship to exist between Rachel and the other wife, the Tzara of Shimon, so therefore in that situation, she, the wife of Shimon, is going to fall to Levi. We'll call her Leah, not related to Rachel. Leah, the wife of Shimon, now falls in Yibam to Levi, and he can do Yibam or Chalitza. But again, v'yamris yesh zika. If you're telling me that the zika is substantive, so then how do we allow that? We should only allow chalitza, not yibam, because havi lo tzaras eishes ochish lo biyolamo bezika. Then this Leah, the wife of Shimon, is the tzara of, on a derabbanan level, Rachel, the widow of Reuven, because in this situation, the zika is at least on a derabbanan level, making them to be co-wives. We didn't say this, so therefore that's wrong, and therefore Rav Yehuda, Hushit is yesh zika is wrong. So again, Rabbah answers this and he says, Homani, whose opinion is this? This is the opinion of Meirhi. Oh, the Amar ain zika. You're right. This Braisa goes according to Rav Meir, who holds ain zika. But Rav Yehuda holds like the other Tanoim that hold Yesh Zika. So therefore, you can't bring him right from one opinion that says Ein Zika, because there are other Tanoic opinions that do hold Yesh Zika. Now, the Gemara just has an aside over here. He says, really? Rav Meir holds Ein Zika? Is that really true? Misra Leila Rav Meir Ein Zika? Are you telling me that Rav Meir holds that there is no concept of Zika making a full bond over here? Or any sort of a bond? But none. But we learned in the Mishnah, on Daf Chavav, which we've already had before, the following. It said over there, Vatnan, you have the four brothers. You have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Arba, Achen, Shnayim, and Nisun, Shtei Achayos. And Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Here, Rachel and Leah are two sisters. So Reuven is married to Rachel, and Shimon is married to Leah. And then you have Levi and Yehuda all alive at the same time, and you have four brothers. And Nebuch, Umesu, both Reuven and Shimon, Hanesuim, Achayos, Reuven and Shimon were married to the sisters, Rachel and Leah, both die. And now their respective wives fall to Levi and Yehuda. Now, each of them is a separate act of Yibum and Chalitza. Reuven's wife, Rachel, and Shimon's wife, Leah, each falls in Yibum to Levi and Yehuda. Now, obviously, neither Levi or Yehuda can do Yibum to both of them because they're sisters. So if you do Yibum, let's say Levi did Yibum to Rachel, so then he can't do Yibum to Leah because it's his wife's sister. And likewise, if he did Yibum to Leah, he can't do Yibum to Rachel because it's his wife's sister. So obviously, neither one of them alone can do both. But why can't you have Levi do Yibum to Rachel and have Yehuda do Yibum to Leah? That's perfectly fine. So, Hare Elu Choltzos, the Mishnah says, V'lo Misyamos, but the Mishnah doesn't allow that. The Mishnah says both of them have to do Chalitza. Levi will do Chalitza, and Yehuda will do Chalitza, or theoretically, one could do Chalitza to both of them. Now, if you're in fact going to tell me that Rav Meir holds, he's the author of this Mishnah on Daf Chavav, the four brothers, the first two married to two sisters, if you're telling me that this is Rav Meir, and you're telling me that Rav Meir holds that there is no Zika, so then, Hani Mitrei Bote Kaasyan. They're coming each from a separate house. Rachel is Reuven's widow, and Leah is Shimon's widow. One has nothing to do with the other if you're saying Ein Zika, and therefore, why don't we allow Levi to be Miyabim one and Yehuda to be Miyabim the other? Haile Yabim Chodav, Haile Yabim Chodav. If you're telling me that Rav Meir holds Ein Zika, so this should be allowed. So why doesn't it reflect that? So the Gemara says, Leolam Ein Zika, because, in fact, Rav Meir doesn't hold from Zika. But, Mishum de Kosova, Rav Meir does hold that it's also Levatel Mitzvahs Yavnin. You're not allowed to go and intentionally do something that could lead to Yibum not being done. How could this lead to Yibum not being done? Because you know what's going to happen? The Dilma may be Ad Miyabim Chad. Levi is going to go and be Miyabim, and Yehuda says, I'll wait a little bit. In 6 months, I'll be Miyabim the other one. And then Nebuch, Levi dies during that period of time. One of the brothers is going to die, and then Dilma ad Miyabim chad mayis idach v'kol batlis mitzvahs Yabim. You're going to end up not doing Yibum because now it's his wife's sister that's falling to Yibum. Levi is now married to Rachel. And then when Yehuda dies, so then Leah now falls to Levi as well. And this can't be because it's his wife's sister. So you end up only having one Yibum done. Levi did Yibum with Rachel, but there won't be any potential of doing Yibum with Leah in this situation because Yehuda died because they didn't get married right away. Tosus point out, if they in fact were to go get married right away, then technically it wouldn't be a problem. But here we're concerned that with Choshe Shlemisa, even though in the Tosus Dibra Maslu Dilma, he says, either Rabbanan or not normally Choshe Shlemisa. We see this from Yom Kippur, where the Chachamim don't require you to go and designate a separate wife for the Kohen Gadol. Leslu Shemasakin Luisha Acheres Shema Tomas Ishto. We don't do that according to the Chachamim because they're not Choshe Shlemisa. And likewise, we don't find that Rav Meir himself is choshish for unusual things because there's a famous case where somebody has taken something on Erev Shabbos and he doesn't have time to go. There's no containers there to go and take off Trumas and Maisers. So he's allowed to designate that this corner will be Truma, this corner will be Maiser, Maiser Sheni, and then after Shabbos, you'll take over the remainder. And Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon all ask him, and what happens if the node breaks? And Rav Meir says, no, if the node breaks, then you have a problem. But until then, we don't have to be choshish that the node will break, that the container will break. So you clearly see that normally they're not choshish for Shema Tomus, so Tosus answers that's Dafka when it's done almost at the same time. But here, there's a potential that you'll delay doing the Yibam for a long period of time. Then you are Choshesh L'Misa. So that's why over here, Rav Meir doesn't allow you to go and do Yibum to both, because you'll be stuck, and you may end up only doing Yibum to one, and you're not allowed to go. He holds the Kosovar also Levatel Mitzvah Yabnin, and you may end up, as a result of doing Yibum to the first one, Levi will do Yibum to Rachel, it may end up that you're not going to end up doing Yibum to Leah, the second sister. And therefore, that's why he says do Chalitza, because Chalitza can always do to the same one. Levi could do Chalitza to the first sister, and then Levi could do Chalitza to the second sister. There's no Isser in that. And therefore, you won't get rid of this mitzvah of Yabmin. You'll at least do Chalitza. So that's why this could be Rav Meir who holds that Ein Zika, and yet at the same time, he would say that you do Chalitza and not Yibum. Morris says, wait a second. V'i Ein Zika Tibatel. So, wait a second. If there's no Zika, so then, big deal. So, let him go and allow Levi to go and marry through Yibum Rachel, and Doha, Rabban Gamliel, Amar Ein Zika, Rabban Gamliel holds the Ein Zika, Umutu Levato Mitzvah Yabim. And if it ends up that you won't end up doing the Mitzvah of Yibum, big deal. Now, where do we see this? Ditnan. This is a Mishnah much, much later in the Masechta, all the way on Daf Kuf Tes Omer Aleph, where Rabban Gamliel teaches us over there, when you're dealing with a situation of Reuven and Shimon marrying two sisters, but one of the sisters that Shimon married is only married through a Dirabonan marriage. She was a Yesoma B'chayavia, or she was married off by her mother or by her brothers, so that's only a Dirabonan marriage. So the sister Leah was only married Midirabonan to Shimon, and now Reuven had married Midaraisa, the older sister Rachel, and now Reuven dies. So the wife of Reuven, the widow of Reuven, Rachel, now falls to Yibam, but she falls to Shimon, who's already on a Durabbanan level married to her sister. So we have a choice. What did Rabbi Gamliel say you can do in that situation? Rabbi Gamliel said, in Miyana, if you want, this girl can do Miyun. So then Leah will do Miyun with her husband Shimon. That breaks up that marriage totally. And then Rachel, the widow, is allowed to go and marry her, because that marriage to Leah is considered as if never occurred, and there is no Achos Ishto prohibition. But Rabbi Gamliel says, that's if she does miyun. Miyun, very good. But he says you don't have to try to do the mitzvah. You're allowed to go and wait. V'im lo miyana. Shimon says, no, I like my wife. Albeit it's only through our bond of marriage, I look forward to living 120 years with her. And let's wait till she becomes a gedola. And then when I have relations with her, that will be now a daraisa marriage. So Rabbi Gamliel says that's perfectly acceptable. V'im lo miyana. If she doesn't want to do miyun, so then, you wait till Leah becomes a gedola, they have relations, and then they're fully fledged marriage. And now, the widow of Reuven, Rachel, doesn't fall to Shimon because it's his wife's sister. And therefore, she goes off scot-free. And then Rachel goes out because it's achos ishto of Shimon. So clearly, you see that Rabbi Gamliel says, big deal if we're mevatel the mitzvah of Yibam. Not the end of the world, because you're doing it with a halachically good reason. So too, if Rabbi Gamliel allows this to be mevatel Yibam, so too, and he holds Ein Zika, so too Rav Meir should hold also that you should be allowed to be mevatel the mitzvah. Or it says, that doesn't make any sense. Amalei, this is Rabbi responding to Abaye, according to many. Others don't have this gerusa here. In any event, Rabbi responds to Abaye, and he says, the Rabbi Gamliel, the Rav Meir, Karamis, why do you not understand? You're saying that just because Rabbi Gamliel holds Ein Zika, and he holds that there's no problem with Mimuvato Yibam, so automatically, Rav Meir, who also holds Ein Zika, must hold that there's no problem with Mimuvato Mitzvah Yibam? No, maybe they disagree on that very point. Why are the two automatically connected? So Abaye says, no, they are connected, low. And Abaye says, Hachi Kamrin, and this is what the Shita is. Rav Meir is Chayish Afilu L'Sveika. Clearly, you see, the Rav Meir is Chayish that maybe Yehuda is going to die, it's a Sofek, and then maybe you won't be able to do the Mitzvah Yibam. So, in this situation, when you have the two brothers, Levi and Yehuda, with the two sisters, Rachel and Leah, falling to them in Yibam, he said, do Chalitza, so you won't be Mevatel the Mitzvah Yibam. But it's only a Sofek that you won't be doing the Mitzvah of Yibam to both of them, because Levi could do Yibam to one, and Yehuda could do Yibam to the other. You're only worried about maybe they'll delay, and then maybe Yehuda will die, and then when Leah falls back to Levi again, she'll be Achos Ishto and won't be able to have Yibam. That's only a Sofek. So Rav Meir is Chayish Afilu L'Sveika, and Rabbi Gamliel Afilu L'Badi Lo Chayish, and you're saying that they're so far apart, the Rabbi Gamliel is not even Choshesh for a Vadai in this situation. With the Gemara, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Tes, where you had the two sisters with Leah being married only midrabbanon. She was a ketana when she married to Shimon. And the older sister, Rachel, she was married a full-fledged daraisa, and then Reuven dies. So now, this is vaday that this is going to happen, and yet Rabbi Gamliel says, no big deal, so it will be mevatel yibum, by just waiting until she grows up, and they have relations, and then it will be a full-fledged daraisa marriage. So Abaye is saying, no, it's impossible over here to say that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir would be so far apart, that Rabbi Meir is choshesh even for a suffix, and Rabbi Gamliel is not even choshesh for a vaday, says that's impossible. And that's his question on Rabbi. And Rabbi says, no, maybe that's exactly it. Domor, man de lo chayish, Rabbi Gamliel is not chayish at all, is lo chayish, afilu levade lo chayish. Even if it's a vade situation that is going to happen, that you'll be mevatel yibum, he's not choshesh for that. And Rabbi Meir, man de chayish, he's choshesh, afilu sveiku chayish, he's even choshesh for a sofik situation, alachas kama v'kama, for a vade situation. So therefore, this is not a stira, it's not a problem. So bottom line is, we have Rav Huna Amar Rav saying Ein Zika, and we have Rav Yehuda saying Yesh Zika, and we have Tanoim that each of them holds via as well. Now, Amar Abaye Rav Yosef, Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Ha the Rav Yehuda the Shmuel he. It must be the Rav Yehuda learned this from his Rebbe Shmuel and not from his Rebbe Rab, because Dithnan, because we learned in the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah later in the Masechta on Daf Mem Aleph, and it says, and we turn to Yudches Amud Beis, it says over there, Shomeris Yavam, if a woman is waiting for Yibam from her Yavam, Rachel, the widow of Reuven dies, so Rachel, his widow, is waiting for Shimon to do Yibam with her, and Shekidesh Achiv Es Achosa, and meanwhile Shimon went and married her sister, he was Makadesh, her sister, Rachel's sister Leah, in this situation, so Shmuel said, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Amru, Shmuel said that we pasken like this, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, as we'll see in a second, Omrim Lo, we say to Shimon, who did Kiddushin with Leah, the sister of his Yavama, Hamtein Achiyasa Chicha Maisa. Wait till Levi, your brother, goes and does either Yibum or Chalitza with Rachel, and then you can go and continue your Kiddushin and make it into the second stage of Nisuin and go and complete your marriage. So we tell him to wait. Yehuda Beseira says, wait, because we have an opportunity here to do both the Yibam on Rachel, do it with the other brother, Levi, without being involved with having to go scot-free as Achos Ishto. And Shmuel had said, Yom HaShmuel, Halachi, Yehuda Beseira, we pass like this Yehuda Beseira. So what do we see from over here? We see that there was a Zika, Yesh Zika. So you see that Shmuel is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, of Yesh Zika, as learned out from Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. That is what Abaye suggested to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef didn't like this. Omalei, Rav Yosef says back to Abaye, no, the Rav, if you're going to tell me that Rav Yehuda learned that from Rav, so what's your problem? My, you're going to tell me, Omalei, some aren't gorgeous the words Omalei, so Sashah says that we delete the words from the Marshal, Omalei, he says, then what would you have? You'd have two seemingly different statements instead of the name of Rav. You'd have Rav Huna Amar Rav, who says, Ein Zika, and now you'd have Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, saying that there is Zika. So big deal. Dilma Amarayim Ninu, Vali B'Dirab. So it's not the first time that we have two different Amarayim who had a different opinion what the Rebbe said. So Rav Huna thought that Rav held Ein Zika, and Rav Yehuda holds that Rav holds Yesh Zika. Why is that such a problem? So Abai says to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, no. Kivan the Itmar Mishmei the Shmuel Behedja. Since we know that Shmuel says Beferish that Yesh Zika from this mission that we just brought down, so Kivan the Itmar Mishmei the Shmuel Behedja, Umishmei the Rav Kamaroi, and we know that Rav had said his opinion of Ein Zika, that Rav Huna had clearly stated that, so then why would we want to say that the two opinions within Rav? Lo Shavke Mishmei the Shmuel Behedja, since we don't know who Rabbi Yehuda said it in, but the choice is, if he holds like Shmuel, so then it's a regular machokas, Rav was Shmuel. But if you say he said it in the name of Rav, then you have a machokas within Rav himself, that Rav Huna says one thing and Rabbi Yehuda says another thing. We'd prefer not to do that. So therefore, Abaye says, it makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda said it over in the name of Shmuel, and Rav Huna said it over in the name of Rav, and this is a machokas, Rav and Shmuel, rather than saying it's a machokas within what Rav said. Fine, that's this understanding of the machlokas between Rav Huna Amar Rav and Rav Yehuda. Now we're saying Amar Shmuel. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said, "I said this Torah over Amrisa Lishmaiso Kamei the Rav Zvid min Nardoi. I said over what we just learned now in front of Rav Zvid from Nardoi, and he said to me, Amar, Atun, you guys, Hochi Masnislu, you learned it in the way that you just said that Rav Yehuda holds like Shmuel and that Rav Huna holds like Rav, but we learned it out, not that we deduced this, Anan Behedja Masnino, we learned it out Beferish. We learned it out that Amar Yuda, Amar Shmuel, we had it that Rav Yehuda said Beferish in the name of Shmuel, the Shomeris Yavar Shemesa, Asur Be'imo. He said Beferish that if the woman who was waiting to have Yibum done with her passes away, so again, Rachel, the widow of Reuven, falls Yibum to Shimon, and before Shimon can do Yibum with her, Rachel passes away. In that situation, Shomeris Yavam Shemesa, Asur Be'imo. Shimon's not allowed to go marry her mother. Why? Amor Kesaba, Yesh Zika. You see, Beferish, the old Yesh Zika. Amor Yuda says the name of Shmuel, Yesh Zika. And the Azda Shmuel Teme. And the reasoning that we just brought for Shmuel's opinion is what we just brought down. The Amor Shmuel, Allah can review the Mesera in the Mishnah that we just brought down from later in the Mesechta. Now, why do we need both of these explanations? Why do we need the Allah is like Reuven Beseira, as well as the statement over here, the Shomeris Yavim Shemesa also Be'ima. So you need both, Utsricha. Because the Ashmeinon Yesh Zika, if you only had the statement, the Shmuel said that Yesh Zika, Amma, you see from here, Ksava Yesh Zika, so then I would have said, Havamina, Hani Mili Bechad, that's only when there's one brother. So then, when there's only one brother, there's only a Shimon after Reuven dies, so then, clearly, Reuven's widow falls to Shimon, Yesh Zika, there's nobody else. I will betray Lo, but you might have thought that if there's a Shimon and a Levi, so it's not clear that the widow of Reuven falls to Shimon, she could just as easily fall to Levi. Just as easily fall to Levi, she could fall to Shimon. And therefore, you might have thought in that situation, betray Lo, there is no Zika. Ah, Kamash Mulan, Shmuel's statement therefore tells us that there's Zika even when you have two. So just tell me that statement. Yes, when Allah reviewed the Masera, if he told me that Loch is like Yudim Masera, and this applies, even if this is true, I would have said, Hava Amina, Hani Mila B'chayim. I would have said that that's only true during the lifetime. But guess what? That Zika went away if she dies, Nebuch, and then he would be allowed to go, in fact, and marry her mother. So, Kamashulan, the Zika B'chdi lo Pokal. That's why you need the first statement, Shomeris Shavim Shemesa, also Be'ima, to tell us that, no, that Zika can't just go away by itself. And even if she dies, it doesn't just fly away, and Shimon would still be prohibited from marrying any of his Zika, the woman who was Zakuka to him, any of her relatives. Tzricha, you need both. Very good. Again, a somewhat complicated sugya. Now we go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us the following case. Shnei Achim, you have two brothers. Again, Reuven and Shimon. Umeis Echomehem, Reuven dies. We're always speaking on poor Reuven. He dies, and he has his wife Rachel, and she falls Yibam to Shimon. The Yibim Hasheni is Eishes Achim, and Shimon does Yibam, and he marries Rachel through Yibam. Fine. Now this Mishnah says V'achar kach nolad lohen ach. Now after the Yibam already takes place, and Shimon is a full-fledged husband to the widow of Reuven, now Levi is born. Mazel tov. V'achar kach nolad lohen ach. Now Meis V'Meis, then Shimon dies. Now Shimon also didn't have children, so his wife that he had beforehand, Leah, she's not related to Rachel, but they're now co-wives. Reuven's widow is the co-wife of Leah, Shimon's other wife. So Shimon now has two wives, one through Yibam, that was Rachel. The other one, unrelated, is his original wife, Leah. And now Shimon dies. Now both of these women would fall in Yibam to Levi, the brother. Now Shimon and Levi were always together at the same time. Levi was alive during the lifetime of Shimon. So do you do Yibam over here or not? So the Rishona, again, using the terminology over here, the Rishona is always a reference to Reuven's wife, the widow, Rachel, who fell and had Yibam with Shimon. She, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, is Yotza Mishum Eishesach Shaloi Rialoma. That original Isser that she has, compared with Levi, that she's an Eishesach Shaloi Rialoma, still is in effect. And therefore, Levi can't do Yibam with her, even though Levi never saw her as Reuven's wife or widow or a woman that could come to him to Yibam, because Shimon already did Yibam before Levi was born. Nevertheless, the Tana of our Mishnah tells us, Yotza Mishum Eishesach Shaloi Rialoma, that Reuven's wife, the widow Rachel, who got Yibam marriage to Shimon and now falls to Levi, there is no Yibam and there is no Chalitza. This is an erva of Eishes Ochi Shloi Be'olomo. And therefore, Vashnia, the second wife of Shimon, Leah, so she goes scot-free as well, Mishum Tzorasa. Tzoras, erva, Tzoras, Eishes Ochi Shloi Be'olomo. So neither of them falls to Levi. However, also B'maimer, V'meis, if in fact Shimon had done Maimer, not Yibam, he'd only done Maimer, and then he died, so now, what is the status of Maimer? Maimer only works Midrabbanan, according to Beis Hillel. So therefore, this woman, the widow of Reuven, Rachel, is only married midirabanan to Shimon. And the other wife he has, Leah, unrelated to Rachel, she's married midaraisa. So the widow of Reuven certainly doesn't fall, because she's Eishes Achus Shaloi B'Olamo, so she doesn't fall at all. But the question is, how does that impact Leah, the wife of Shimon? Because in this situation, midaraisa, there was no connection between Rachel and Leah, because only Maimer was done, which is only midirabanan. So in this situation, the Tana of Mishnah says, Hashnia, this woman, Leah, the second wife of Reuven, again, it's really the only wife of Reuven, but we call her the second one because the first one fell to him in Yibum, albeit he didn't do Yibum, he only did Maimer. So Hashnia, the way we refer to his wife, his original wife, Leah, she can't undergo Yibum, but she requires Chalitza, Choletza, Tzvulo Misabemis. Again, nothing new over here. We've had all of this discussed beforehand, but we'll see the Chiddush from our Mishnah when we do the Gemara. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. And along comes Rabbi Shimon. We mentioned Rabbi Shimon in the first parak. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Miyabeim lezemim shiyirtza. In the case where Shimon underwent Yibum with the widow Rachel, and in both cases, even whether Levi was born before that or after that, we'll see Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, V'yabem le'ezohem shiirtza. In fact, we look at the widow Reuven no longer as Eishes Achus Shaloi B'Olamo, we look at her as Eishes Achus Shaloi B'Olamo, because she's now Shimon's wife. And Shimon has two wives. One happened to have been previously married to Reuven, but we ignore that, according to Rabbi Shimon. And this first wife, Rachel, and the second wife, Shimon's other wife, Leah, both fall to Levi and Yibam. Shimon never had no children, and Levi can do Yibam or Chalitza, which whatever one he wants. Miabim Lezamim Shiirtza, or Cholitz Lezamim Shiirtza, or he can do Chalitza. Now, the way we just explained this is that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon argue in both cases whether the Yibam took place before Levi was born, or the Yibam took place even after Levi was born. But this will have to be proven from the Gemara. Now, Omer, now the Girsa that we have is Rav Oshaya, but you can see in the Mesoros Hashas, he says, V'tzorach lomar, Omer Rebbe Oshaya. There are two different individuals, Rav Oshaya and Rebbe Oshaya. And this one is Rebbe Oshaya because we're going to see in tomorrow's Gemara that Rav Oshaya is going to ask a question on the Shita of Rebbe Oshaya. And Tosos in tomorrow's share points out the favorites that you see from here that there are two Rebbe Oshayas. One is Rebbe Oshaya and one is Rav Oshaya. Okay. Now, Amma Rebbe Oshaya. Rebbe Oshaya said, Rebbe is normally referring to a Tano or sometimes an Amoru who comes from Eretz Yisrael. And when we use the terminology Rab, it's somebody that didn't get smicha, so that's usually an Amora from Bavel. Okay, so Rebbe Oshaya states the following statement. Choluk hoya Rebbe Shimon af barishona. In fact, Rebbe Shimon argued even with the first Mishnah, which talked about where Levi was born before the Yibum took place. Not only in our Mishnah, where the Yibum took place before Levi was born. Rabbi Oshaya says that Rabbi Shimon argues in both cases, not only in our case, where Shimon is married to the widow of Reuven, even before Levi is born, but even, Rabbi Shimon says, in the case where Levi is born before the Yibum occurs, in both situations, it's no longer considered Eishes Achus Shaloi B'Olamo, and once the Yibum does take place, Rabbi Shimon says in both scenarios, even in the case where Levi was born before the Yibum took place, and certainly in the case where Levi was born after the Yibum took place, that this is not a problem of Eishes Achus Shaloi B'Olamo, because during his lifetime, Shimon died while he was already married to her, so we forget about the prior relationship with Reuven. Now, why is that so? Mimaydi Gemara says, Midiktani Mishnah Yisera, because our Mishnah would be extraneous and unnecessary, because we had the first Mishnah, and now we have our Mishnah, why do you need both? So the Gemara explains, Midiktani Mishnah Yisera, since there's an extra Mishnah over here to teach us the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, how powerful it is, and to teach us how powerful the Shita of the Chacham is, that even if Levi is born after the Yibam, they still hold that you're not allowed to do Yibam. It's still considered Eishes Ach Shaloi B'Olamo. Now, Baba Dereisha, the first case in the Mishnah, where we said Levi is born prior to the Yibum. So why did you need that? Lamang Tonila. If you're going to have our case over here, where even the Chachamim hold that if the Yibum took place and then Levi is born, you're still not allowed to do Yibum or Chalitza. So then, You certainly don't need the Bava Dereisha. So the Gemara says, Bava Dereisha is extra. Bava Dereisha Lamang Tonila, who do you need it for? Ilam L'Rabbanan, if you're telling me it's for Shita the Rabbanan, so then Hashta Yibim Ulbisof Nolad. If you have the case where the Yibim occurred and then Levi is born, we don't allow it according to the Chum through Yibim Chalit, so we still consider it Eshesach Shaloya B'Yolamo. And one could argue with that situation that when Levi was born, he never saw Reuven's wife being unattached. He never saw her unattached. He only saw her married to Shimon. So Behetera Ashke, he found her in a permissible situation. So then when Shimon dies, nevertheless, Asir Rabban, the Rabban stay, is still considered like it was Eshesach Shlobi Olomon from Reuven. So then, in that situation that Levi's born afterwards, the rabbis hold it. So certainly, no lot. If he was born before the Yibam, only after he was born, Levi was born, would you need to tell me in that case? So obviously, you don't need that case to teach us the din of the Chachamim. Ella what? Ella lav le Rabbi Shimon. It's the din of Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, you need our mission here to show the strength of Rabbi Shimon's case, and the previous mission was to show the strength of the Chachamim. You need our mission to show us that even in a case where Levi is born first, and then the Yibam took place, Rabbi Shimon holds that it's not considered Eshesach Shelo Yobu L'Olam, as long as Shimon ultimately did Yibam and then died childless, and Rachel, as well as Leah, fell to Levi. And certainly in the case where the Yibam took place first, Allah has come with Kama, the Rabbi Shimon would say that the Yibam is allowed with either Rachel or Leah by Levi. And you need the two cases to teach us the strength of the Chachamim in the other direction. V'tana reisha l'odiach kochel Rabbi Shimon, and v'tana seifa l'odiach kochel Rabbanon. So you need both of them to teach us the strength of each cases. That the Chachamim hold, even when Levi was born after the Yibam, they still say, you're not allowed to do Yibam with Chalitza because of Eshesach Shaloi B'Lamo. And he, the other case to teach us that even when Levi was born before the Yibam, as long as the Yibam took place, Rabbi Shimon holds that there is no Isser of Eshesach Shaloi B'Lamo. And Ubedinhu, the Niflog Rabbi Shimon Bereisha. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon should have had his Shita mentioned earlier. He waited until the Rabbanan finished the discussion. They finished off all the words, and then the Hadar Palagalayu in both cases. So the bottom line is that this machlok between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon occurs in both cases, whether Levi was born before the Yibam or whether Levi was born after the Yibam. And both cases teach us each the strength of Rabbi Shimon or the strength of the Chachamim. I hope that's clear. Let's go weiter. Gemara says, Elo Eishesach Shalbi Olamo, the Rabbi Shimon, Hechi Mishkachasla. So wait a second. In both of these situations, you're saying that this is not a case of Eishes Achiv, Shaloya B'Lamo, when Levi was born either before or after the Yibam. So then when do we have a case of Eishes Achiv, Shaloya B'Lamo, according to Rabbi Shimon? After all, the Pasuk does say, Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov, he agrees with the basic din. So what gives an obvious answer? Bichad Acha Umis, we only have one brother who died without children. Reuven was the only brother alive. He died without children. He has a wife. And then, subsequently, Shimon is born. A brother is born after that. So that's a clear case of Eshesach Shelo B'Olamo. So in that situation, the widow of Reuven certainly wouldn't fall to Yibam, would not be allowed to marry the new child that's born, her new brother-in-law. Alternatively, Inami, betray. If you had two brothers originally, velo Yibam, velo Meis. So in this situation, Reuven died, and Shimon didn't do Yibam, and Shimon didn't die. So in this situation, if Levi is now born, so in this situation, obviously, Levi can't do Yibam or Chalitza. Shimon will have to do the Yibam or Chalitza. So these are two obvious scenarios of Eshach, Shelo Yabi Olamo, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Adigmar continues and tells us, Bishlomo Yibam v'achakach nolad. We can certainly understand that if the Yibam took place first and then Levi was born, we can understand why Rabbi Shimon, with that situation, if Shimon were to die, would allow Levi to do Yibam v'chalitza to either Rachel or Leah, the widow of Reuven, Rachel, who then was taken in Yibam by Shimon, or Shimon's other wife, Leah. We understand that perfectly well. Ki ashkei b'teira ashkel, because both of them were perfectly permitted to him, because they were both married to Shimon when Levi was alive, and now they both fall to him, so the relationship with Reuven, one could easily say, is cut out. But in the other case, Ela Nolad, where Levi was born before the Yibam, and only afterwards did Shimon do the Yibam, Yachach Yibam, my time, Taka, why does Rabbi Shimon allow, in that situation, that there not be an Isser of Eshesach Shelo Yobi Olamo? Why isn't this, in fact, an Isser of Eshesach Shelo Yobi Olamo? After all, Reuven's widow was not yet taken in Yibam when Levi was born, but Levi wasn't around for any part of Reuven's life. Tak, it's a good question, and the Gemara answers, Kisavar yesh zika. Rabbi Shimon holds that there is a zika, and this zika is strong enough to make it as if they're married even before Levi is born. The zika kichnusa damya, and this zika alone is able to go and make it as if Reuven's widow Rachel is already married to Shimon, and that occurs before Levi is born. More questions. Is Maskev of Yosef really? Hashda zika umaymar. When you have both zika. And he, in addition, Shimon did Maimer. Nevertheless, Misaf Galil Rabbi Shimon, we have, as we'll see in a second, Rabbi Shimon is unclear. It's a sophic to Rabbi Shimon. Do we consider her I Kichnusa Dami in that situation? Ilav Kichnusa Dami in that situation? When you have both Zika and Maimer, Rabbi Shimon seems to be unclear. Is this considered like a full wife to Shimon or not? So Zika Lechudo Mibaya, would you then possibly even think to ask this question when you just said Zika alone? Now, where do we see that where do we find such a case with Zika and Maimar? Maihi, what's this case? The Tanan. So this is a Mishnah also later in the Masechta. Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. And there we have the case, the Tanan. Shlosha Achin Nesuin Shalosh Noshim Nechuyos. You have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, married to three unrelated wives, Rachel, Leah, and Chana. They're not sisters with each other. They're nochrios. They're unrelated to each other. Again, nochrios means Jewish women who are unrelated. Doesn't mean gaita. So, again, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are married, respectively, to Rachel, Leah, and Chana. Unrelated to each other. Umeis Echamihem. Again, we always pick on poor Reuven. Reuven dies without any children. And Shimon does Maima, but also Bosheni Maima. The second brother, Shimon, does Maima with her, but before he actually does the Yibum, he just did Maima, like the rabbis say, Vemes, and then Shimon died. So now, what do you have? You have the question, how do we view this all falling to Levi? Technically, if Reuven and Shimon had just died, then both of them would fall to Levi. Levi could do Yibum with both of them. He could do Yibum with one, Chalitza with the other. He could do Chalitza to both of them. It's his choice totally, because they're unrelated. They each fell from separately. One fell from Reuven, one fell from Shimon. But here, you have the problem of Shnei Batim. Because of the Maimer that Shimon did, Reuven's widow falls from Reuven to Levi, but also from Shimon to Levi. And in this situation, Rabbi Shimon said, Hare elu cholzos lo misyabmos. We make both of them undergo chalitza because of the principle. Shneamar umeis achad mehem. We have the famous passage we said many times. Umeis achad mehem. In this situation, ubein ein lo. That's what the passage says. Lo siya eishes hameis achutza liish zor. Yevama yavo ola. That's what we quote here in the Gemara. So it has to be Mishal Leah Zikas Yavam Echad. The woman only falls from one brother, from one Yavam, Velosh Olo Zikas Shnei Yavmir, and not that he came from two brothers. And here the Tanakhama says we have a concern that it comes from two brothers. Now Rabbi Shimon tells us, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Miyabim Lazim Shiyirza. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says, no, you do Yibam to whichever one you want, and the other one undergoes Chalitza. Now, how does this show us that Misaf Galel Rabbi Shimon I Kichnusa Damya Ilav Kichnusa Damya? So let's understand this. And the Gemara explains, Yibume Tarvayu Lo. Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow Levi to do Yibum with both of them because Dilma Yesh Zika. Maybe that Zika is in fact something. And therefore, the doing of Maimer strengthened the Zika to Shimon. And now, this woman is in fact falling to Levi, both via the Zika from Reuven, as well as the Maimer and Zika from Shimon. V'hayu shnei yevamos habos, and we turn to Yutes Amud Aleph, Mibayis Echad, and that's a problem. So you can't do Yibum to both of them. That's clear. Now, do Yibum to only one, Yibum Michada, the Iftar Idach, and just let the other one go scot-free, that you can't do also. Lo, why? Because the Dilma ain't Zika Kichnusa, because maybe the Zika is worthless. And really, both of them fell to him. The two women, one is the widow of Reuven, one is the widow of Shimon, they have no relationship to each other because ain't Zika Kichnusa, and therefore both of them require Yibum, and both of them require Chalitza. But therefore, you can't just let one go scot-free. So, what do you see? Alma Misafgale. We see that Rabbi Shimon is unclear. Do we not say that the Zika with the Maimer is strong, or do we not say that the Zika is anything? And therefore, Misafgale. So how can you tell me that Maimer and Zika, he's definitely certain what to do? Here you clearly see that he's not. Are you going to tell me? V'chitei the Gemara says midoraisa achanami. The din midoraisa is the miyab mochada or mivdur chada. Technically, on a deraisa level, the zika takes effect. So therefore, he in fact is only going to do yibum on one of them, and the other one goes off scot free. As a regular case when two women fall to him, and that's because the zika made them both the wives of Shimon. So he only does yibum to one, and the other one goes off scot free. And it's only umi the rabbanu who the asur, because maybe gezerim mishum shema yomru, the rabbis made a decree over here that you can't just let the other ones go off scot free, because people are going to say shtei yavamos habos mishtei batim chodem yabba v'idach miftur below klum, because people won't notice over here that there was this double zika, so to say, and they're going to assume that no, whenever you have two women that fell yibam, Reuven's wife fell to yibam to Levi, and Shimon died and his wife fell Yibum to Levi, that you're okay, just do Yibum one of them, and the other one goes off scot-free. People will make that mistake. But the Mishnah seemed to be saying that the only reason Rabbi Shimon had a suffix over here was because of the Maimer. So, is the Maimer the critical thing? The Tanya, because Rabbi Shimon said to the Chachamim, in Maimaro Shosheni Maimer, if the Maimer that Shimon did is in fact a good Maimer, so then Eisha Sheni Huboa. So then, if Levi were to go and do Yibam, so that's a full-fledged wife, because the Maimer made it into a full-fledged wife. The Maimer Shosheni ain't a Maimer, but if you say that the Maimer is nothing, so then Eisha Rishon Huboa. So then, when Rachel falls to Levi, it's not falling through Shimon, it's falling just through Reuven. And both would require Yibam, and both would require Chalitza. So you see that clearly, his opinion is, we're not sure, Mesafkele, do we hold the Maimer as something or not? So therefore, how can you, Rabbi Yoshaya, say that Rabbi Shimon holds that even without Maimer, the Zika itself makes the Yavama into a full-fledged wife? You see, even with Maimer plus Zika, Rabbi Shimon is not sure. Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem. Amalei Abai says, V'lo shoni loch bein zikas yovim echel, the zikas shnei yavamim. No, the difference is whether you hold the zika with one versus the zika with two. If you have one brother or you have two brothers. And in fact, Dilma, ki amar Rabbi Shimon zika kichnusa damya, when Rabbi Shimon says that zika is like they were actually married, it's only when there's one brother, yovim echel. So if there's only a Shimon, and then Reuven dies childless, so then that zika, wow, that's a powerful zika, and they're considered as if they were married already. However, if there's two brothers, there's a Levi and a Shimon, so then we don't say that Reuven's widow, Rachel, automatically fell to Shimon. She could just as easily have fallen to Levi. And in that situation, the Zika is not as strong. And that's why the Maimer changes everything around. When you did Maimer, that designates it, that makes the Zika bond to be a significant bond with the Maimer. But without the Maimer, then there's no guarantee that the Zika is strong enough, according to Rabbi Shimon, to consider them married. That's what Abaye answers to Rabbi Yosef. And the word says, Umishani Leila Rabbi Shimon, does Rabbi Shimon really make a differentiation in the Zika between one or two Yavamim? No, Vatanya, we learned. Kalalam Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold like that. He says, Kol Shalei de Kodemis Lanisuyin, if in fact Levi is born before Shimon did Yibam, so then lo choletzes lo misya bemes. In that situation, there is no chalitza, there is no yibam. Here he holds clearly that there is still an attachment to Reuven, and therefore this is Eishes Ashloya Bilamo, and that's why you don't need anything. And this is a kasha on what Rabbi Yoshaya said. Only when Nisuyim Kodem Leleda, only if Shimon actually married her in Yibam before the birth of Levi, then O Choletzes O Misya Bemes. Then you have the option of Choletzes O Misya Bemes. Now, this is talking about my Lav Biyovim Echad, even though there's only one Yavim over here, only Shimon. Nevertheless, Uktani Lo Choletzes O Misya Bemes. So this is a kasha on Rabbi Yoshai's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon to say that there is no difference between whether Levi was born before the Yibam or Levi was born after the Yibam. So the Gemara is going to say, lo, v'shnei yevamim. We are dealing, in fact, with two yevamim. But we'll pick this up tomorrow. We're already going pretty late, and we're already a little bit down on your testimony. So again, it's a complicated sugya. We'll pick it up over here tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.